Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony.
And this is the Watchathon of Wrassilon.
Yay!
Or is it?
Dun, dun, dun.
It is, though.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Just, like, I don't want to panic people at the beginning of the show, like, oh, it's the new episode's up. Oh, wait, maybe it's not. Ah! Oh, okay. Oh, God, gee. Oh, I was worried there. Don't scare me.
Play the theme song. Today we're going to be talking about the first serial of the ninth season of Doctor Who, Day of the Daleks. Consists of four episodes that air from January 1st, 1972 to January 22nd, 1972. And I'd like to give a special shout out to Matt Golden of mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com for getting us these episodes.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
True facts!
So does Matt, like, own stock in the podcast? Because I feel like every single... Did he just, like, mail you a big box of DVDs? Like, what?
The deal is that if you get us the DVD so we can watch it, then you sponsor an episode. And seeing as how he's gotten us most of the episodes...
But he owns stock in the show. It's fine. That's good.
By the way, we have a special guest. I think he's talked once or twice so far.
A little bit.
Welcome back, Barrel of Legs, Ben Padden.
Hello. Yay.
He is a barrel of legs. I forgot that.
I never forget that barrel of legs.
They're multiplying, which is weird because legs don't have any reproductive organs or anatomy. So there are more legs now than there were the last time we spoke. And I haven't touched the barrel. I haven't opened the barrel. I haven't looked at the barrel. So something's going on in there. And it's just, I'm starting to get uncomfortable, to be honest. I think I'm going to have to get rid of the barrel.
Well, then you just have legs.
Are there too many to fit inside the barrel? Do you need to get a second barrel?
Well, it's not so much that there's a lack of space. I mean, obviously that is an issue. It's more the concern that I don't know where these extra legs are coming from. I don't know whether it's like cellular mitosis. I don't know if other people that I've seen, oh, there's a leg barrel. I've got a bunch of legs. I may as well put them in there. I don't know where these extra legs are coming from, and it's a genuine worry.
People think it's like a charity drop off.
Are they all human legs, or are there different types of legs?
I'll be honest. I've been too mortified to rummage, but they mostly seem to be like people legs. I'm not saying that animals aren't people, but I am actively saying that animals are not people.
Are there different, like, you know, races? Or are they all Caucasian legs, or...
Listen, we're heading into... Listen, there's no correct answer to that question. If I say, oh yeah, there's a bunch of different... Then suddenly I'm the guy who is going around hacking people's legs off indiscriminately. But if I say, no, it's all white people, that means I'm a racist limb hoarder. And there's no... Listen, I don't win either way. That This is entrapment.
You figured it out. You figured out my trap.
I'm a smart man.
Well, other than your barrel of legs, how's it been going?
It's been pretty good. It's been a fairly productive few months for me. Well, the last time I was on the show, I think, was in 1824, during the height of the gold rush.
That feels right.
Yeah, it's been a while. I've aged considerably since then. Since we last spoke, I brought back my web series Port Center, which is a show about interesting and unique ports, conversions, and re-releases of video games. And by the time this episode comes out, the latest episode, episode 45, will be available to view on the Chainsaw Games YouTube channel, which is very, very exciting. I'm an excited man right now.
I'm excited.
I'm working on more content. I've been emceeing at a number of conventions. I recently emceed at WhedonCon in Los Angeles, where I got to meet a bunch of really cool people who were involved in the hit television series Buffy the Vampire Slayer, as well as other Whedon-themed themes. Themes. Sorry, I short-circuited there for a minute. But yeah, I met a bunch of really cool people. I was on a panel with writers and producers of various shows that Whedon has been associated with, and I did my first, like, half-hour stand-up set, which was terrifying.
That's awesome!
But it went very, very well. Yeah, they just asked for my bio for the San Diego WhoCon website, so it looks like I'm going to be back at San Diego WhoCon in just a couple of months to MC that convention as well, which is very, very exciting stuff.
Awesome. Yeah. Very, very cool.
It is very, very cool. I'm a cool guy.
I think so, yeah.
I feel like we've established that.
I think we've established it well enough to move away from the subject of how cool I am and towards the subject of Day of the Daleks. And to kick things off, I have an interesting fact that you missed.
Okay.
As you may know, all of these serials in Classic Doctor Who have a serial code, a reference number, and it's usually three letters or three numbers. And the serial for this particular episode is KKK. I don't have anything to add to that other than that is what it is. It's nobody's fault. It's a quirk of, like, alphanumerical sequences. This episode has been endorsed by the Ku Klux Klan unintentionally and unofficially. And it's not a serial code that anyone would, like, see or know about. It's not mentioned in the DVD notes. It's not mentioned on the show in any way. It's the kind of thing you'd only know if you were a massive, massive dork or you had access to the internet. And I'm both of those things. I'm both a massive, massive dork and I am the internet.
That was an amazing fact. Thank you.
And it's not, there will be faux facts later on. I will be busting out some imaginary non...
That was a genuine Ben fact.
That was a genuine Ben fact.
That gets a completely different theme song.
Genuine Ben fact!
Ooh, I heard that with, like, harp music.
I dig it.
So let's dive into the serial itself. We'll start with episode one, which I have titled The Day Before the Day of the Daleks.
We had a very long discussion about how long the Day of the Daleks is.
And also, it's in two completely different days, if you think about it, considering there's time travel involved.
It really should be, like, the week of the Daleks.
It's definitely a long weekend. It's the long weekend with Tuesday off 4th of July of the Daleks.
Man, let's talk about how much Monday sucked. I'm probably the only one who had to, like, go in and then is off today.
This makes no sense because for people listening, because this episode's going up on, like, the 20th.
All right.
20-something. Delayed jokes.
They're the best jokes, you know. You know the secret of good you know. Let me start again. You know the secret of good joke telling. Let me start again. You can edit all that nonsense out. Do you know the secret of good jokes is? I can't even get it right. Do you, the Heaths? Do you know what the secret of good comedy is? I'll tell you in 3 weeks. There we go.
You know that was worth
timing.
The wait.
Leaving all of that in.
Oh.
Thank God we don't broadcast these live.
Day of the Daleks. Well, there's a mansion, and there's a soldier in the window.
Yes.
And he's hot in the place.
Yeah, there's the guy, that's Sir Reginald Stiles, who in the Whoniverse is, of course, the inventor of the stylus. And he is just kind of sitting at his desk working, chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool. And then suddenly this guy shows up in the window, goes to kill him, and then instead of killing him, kind of fades away into an unconvincing strobing light effect.
Sort of like Doctor Who effect.
It looked exactly like a Doctor Who visual effect from about 1972.
Exactly like it. I think they may have stolen it.
From like the first episode of the first serial of the 9th season, production code KKK.
Day of the Daleks. Yeah.
If I had to ballpark it, yeah.
One of the original titles for this was, I believe, The Ghost Hunters. So I think these are the aforementioned ghosts.
Oh, yeah, because, the Doctor later on in the story actively refers to them as ghosts.
Even though There are no ghosts in this whatsoever.
There are zero ghosts. There are fewer ghosts in this serial than in any other Doctor Who story.
The Brig gets called about this.
As he does.
And told to, like, help out just because this dude has ghost problems.
He's important. He's doing some important peace talks, or else the world's gonna break out into war.
So, if you have ghost problems, who are you gonna call? The Brig.
The Brig. That's the answer to the question.
And it always has been and always will be. I can think of no other answer to the question, who are you gonna call?
This predates previous askings of that question by 12 full years. So, I'm a keen thinker. I like to think that Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart, when he retires, and he does retire, he founds the UK franchise of the Ghostbusters, and the rest is history. They don't catch anything, but it's there. It's mostly a way for him to, like, funnel cash from his pension into other means. He's laundering money, by which I mean he is putting it in a tumble dryer because he has a fundamental lack of understanding of what money laundering actually is. But all of his banknotes are very clean.
Swear to God, I thought that's what it used. I used to think that's what money laundering was.
Taking big sacks of money and putting them in a washer dryer unit.
And what did that accomplish?
It cleaned it. And it didn't help that I watched National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon 1, in which that is a literal joke in the movie. Is
and
a
so
money
you're like,
launder.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
This is all in order here.
So much of what I know about American culture comes from American TV shows, including The Simpsons. So when The Simpsons did a joke and I didn't get the joke, my gut reaction to that was, well, I guess that's just how things are in America.
That's a good way to learn. That's the best way to learn.
I can't think of any examples off the top of my head. I can't think of any examples, but that is how my brain is wired.
You thought it was socially okay to strangle your child for comedic purposes.
That's exactly, well, not even for comedic, just for, like, disciplinary actions. Fun fact. Anyway, ghosts!
We see the TARDIS console again, yeah, but not the TARDIS.
The console's not in the TARDIS, again.
He gets so mad.
We just got back into the TARDIS. In Colony in Space, and now they take it out. Be inside the TARDIS. Why? I feel like it's ridiculous to take it outside of the TARDIS. Isn't it heavy?
Well, I mean, there's also the minor factor of it's bigger than the doors, but the thing for me, I saw this. This is one of the first Pertwee serials I ever saw when I first watched it a few years ago. I thought that room was the inside of the TARDIS. I thought, it's a weird look, but I'm kind of into it.
We did the same thing.
Terror of the Autons?
I think so. Where they show the console, and I was like, this is
weird.
I was like, why does it look like somebody's grandma's house? And I realized, I thought it looked like somebody's grandma's house because it was all decorated, like, from the 70s. And that's what people's grandma's houses looks like.
Well, I mean, in the future, people's grandma's houses will be, like, covered in 90s paraphernalia. It'll be, like, Digimon posters and Tamagotchis everywhere. And would you like, instead of, like, Werther's Originals, would you like some fruit by the foot or whatever the fuck?
I have some Gushers.
Gushers. I have a bowl of Gushers and you take one out and it's just a big solidified, fossilized hunk of Gusher.
It's a crystal bowl, too. Like, very fancy. But it's just full of Gushers.
Fancy bowl full of Gushers. An expired Starburst.
I understand in the Silurians and Inferno and all that.
We didn't have
the TARDIS set, so that's why the console's outside of the TARDIS. But we got a set in Colony in Space. We see it. Why did we go back to having it outside of the TARDIS?
To make you mad.
I'm going to have a look on the wiki to see if there is an explanation for that. And if I can't find one, I will make something up.
We'll get our first Ben fact.
No, it'll be the second. The first one was the thing about the stylus.
Oh, you're right.
He subtly snuck one in there.
A sly one. I actively forgot. I was engaged in the process of forgetting. There doesn't seem to be an explanation on the wiki, so I'm going to say, during the hiatus, Rapscallions, which is not a noun, it is the name of the group, broke into the BBC studios and stole three of the roundels, and rather than replace the roundels by like going to Big Lots and buying some like container tub lids or whatever, they just scrapped the whole set. The producer, in an angry rage, kicked down the sets and stomped and wailed and moaned and whined and stamped his fat little feet, pulverized the set into tiny pieces. It was then ground down into sawdust and used on the floor of the Blue Peter studio to cover up elephant shit.
Also, his moaning and crashing into things led to rumors of ghosts, which was an inspiration for the serial we are watching now.
It is exactly that, yeah, because when the producer of this serial, and the producer was scrolling.
Rawhide!
Scrolling down again, because apparently I went too far. The producer of this particular story was Barry Letts, as we all know, without having to refer to nonsense, Barry Letts produced this particular serial, and he has had a reputation as being a ghost.
That is true.
That's 100%
I've heard
true.
Just now from Ben.
This is an educational
podcast.
He's
never led me wrong.
Fun fact, he became the producer of Doctor Who by haunting the studio, and he kind of built up a rapport with the cast and the crew, and when the time came, they looked at his resume and saw that he had past experience. He'd been a producer on, a ghost producer, of course, on Z-Cars, and they said, you know what, yeah, let's bring him in. So they brought him in, and he... you know what, I can't lie anymore. He wasn't a producer on Z-Cars. He was a producer on David Copperfield and Sense and Sensibility.
What?
Except he was a producer on Z-Cars. Boom! Double Ben fact! Yeah! Like a Russian nesting doll of lies.
I'm so turned around! I don't even know what's true anymore.
I'm so lost and confused now. I don't know what's real, what's not.
But hey, if you want to talk about being lost and confused, let's continue to talk about Day of the Daleks, because it does get pretty confusing. Actually, I do have a question to ask. Did you guys watch the broadcast version, or did you watch the special edition that was on the DVD?
We were against that.
I want to see the original shitty production values, thank you.
The way God intended.
Because I'd already seen the original, but I watched the special edition a couple of years ago, and some of the visual effects look really cool, but they're also quite jarring compared to some of the very 70s... production values elsewhere in the serial. I do want to call attention to this, because when the Daleks do appear, they sound like people in a pub doing the voice that they think the Daleks have, but it's not what the Daleks sound like, and that's how the Daleks sound in this serial. So the good thing, one of the good things about the special edition version on disc 2 of the DVD is that Nick Briggs came in and did all the Dalek voices, and he's doing his best to sound like classic Daleks, and I don't think he's quite pulling it off. He sounds more new series than anything else, but it's kind of cool. It's cool to be a cat.
I also feel like the voices for the Daleks, the original voices in this serial, they also sound kind of nervous. Like they're not doing this
like
right?
It's too big of a deal.
Yeah. Exterminate.
They move that way too.
They're very wobbly. They also add, in the special edition, they add in more Daleks too,
instead
right?
Instead of just the three?
Yeah.
Instead of the very obvious three that they only have.
So the Doctor and Joe, we're working on the TARDIS, and then there's another Doctor and Joe. Whoa?
It's very reminiscent of the that scene in Inferno when him and...
I only know her as Caroline John. I can never remember the companion's name.
Her name is Liz?
Liz Shaw.
There we go.
I don't know why. I always blank on her name. But yeah, it reminds me of that scene in Inferno where like they're popping in and out of existence.
I always had a hard time remembering the actress's name, but I always remember the character. And then when she passed away, her name was burned into my memory, but I forgot the character's name.
You only have room for one in your brain.
Yeah, I can't. If I stored both, I'd forget my social security number. So I've made a conscious effort to just store one of those.
Liz Shaw, do you remember?
Are you trying to get him to forget his social security number?
Yes.
No, I remember. It's 7-2. No, I'm not going to recite my social on this podcast. I've already recited it on other podcasts. I'm not going to repeat the bit.
You gave an exclusive to another podcast. How dare you?
Yeah, because you haven't had me on in 8,000 years.
That's fair. Speaking of not having things on in 8,000 years, Daleks, yeah, this is the first three serial that has a previous, like, monster. I mean, we've had Time Lords, but other than that, we haven't had Cybermen, Daleks, anything. This is the first time we've had something from the black and white era back on the show.
And there's a lovely callback to that at the end of part two where you see the... Is it the end of part two? No, it's the end of part three, where they're scanning the Doctor's brain and you see Hartnell and Troughton.
And the credits.
Pop up on the display. And the credits. The credits appear in front of John Pertwee. I like to think they were made physically manifest, a la Too Many Cooks. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Because the first episode is very nothing happens.
It is.
It's true. We're skipping over it because we just want to talk
about it. I do like that one scene at the top, which where Joe and the Doctor also appear, which was supposed to come back.
Because it only makes sense that it would.
And then they didn't do it. The director was like, no, you do it once and that's it. But no, that's not the point. The point is they come back and then complete the loop, the cycle.
Yes.
The thing about directors is sometimes they're stupid. Case in point, you can hear the howl at the beginning of the Doctor Who theme at the end of the recap of the cliffhanger in every episode in this serial.
Oh, it drove me nuts.
I hated it. It was so confusing.
It made me very angry. And it's also in the special edition, because the special edition is, I think, feature length. So it's just in there.
That's awful. They stopped doing, like, the third or the fourth one, right?
I think the last one they didn't
the
do.
The last one, because we were like, second and the third, God. They definitely do.
Yeah. To be honest, this whole serial's a little sloppily directed.
It's rough. To put it mildly, it's rough.
One of the other important things that happened, and let's get this episode out of the way. This is only, like, two more things that are at all important.
So, yeah, Styles is, he's going to China. There's like a big peace conference, and he's going to talk China into participating because they decided not to for arbitrary reasons that we don't get to hear about because politics is boring. Take the hint, George Lucas. So Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart assigns the Doctor and Joe to keep a watch at the house, and then a bunch of soldiers are just going to like patrol the area. So the Doctor and Joe are in the house. The Doctor's like, no, let's help ourselves to his wine and his cheese.
Which you know is my favorite. I like when characters eat on screen. It makes me happy.
Let's stop the podcast again, and let's analyze that for a minute. Why?
They're just enjoying themselves.
It's them being people instead of, you know, pushing plot forward.
Do you feel the same when you see a character go to the toilet?
I do.
Really?
I do. There was a scene where somebody was peeing in Glow, and I was like, nice.
Were you like, nice, or were you like, nice? Because there is a difference.
Were you like, I like this? Or were you like, Tony like?
Let's move on.
I promised never to do that again.
I did, and I'm sorry, but I had to.
For the podcast.
Also, we just started watching Twin Peaks together, and Tony just loves that show because everybody...
We're in the diner every 5 seconds. It's amazing.
Just talking about how amazing all the food is. And she's
we literally
like, yes.
had to go out to eat so I could get pie.
Oh man, now I want pie. I'm going to have to get pie after... Oh, wait, no, I can't, because I only have $3 in my PayPal account, and I don't get paid till tomorrow. Womp, womp. Okay, carrying on from the show.
Okay, so also one of the soldiers reappears outside and goes running around and bumps into an orc, basically.
It is a very big, very scowly, very stupid, and I don't think we can avoid this very brown monster that... I when I first saw this serial, I thought, oh hey, it's a sci-fi orc, and now I look at it, I think that seems like a really poor choice.
Yeah. Also, they don't really do much.
I don't understand why they're there.
I mean, originally they were supposed to be the only thing in it. They're like the Orgons, the Ogrons, something like that.
The Ogrons.
Yeah, orcs. I'm just gonna call them orcs. They're orcs.
Space orcs.
The Daleks weren't in it at all. And then they decided to put the Daleks in it because they needed a hook for this first episode of the season. Because the first season had the Third Doctor, the second season had the Master, and they didn't have anything really special for this one.
They knew that they wanted to put the Daleks into a serial this season, and they had the scripts and they weren't sure which story they wanted to put the Daleks into. And then they get the script for, I forget what, like Ghost Hunter International, whatever this stupid story was called. And then Barry Letts was all, hey, this is good. I know, let's put the Daleks in there, like get them right up in there, right all the way up there, and make it a Dalek story called The Day Of, or not The Day Of, Day Of the Daleks, Daleks.
And honestly, they don't add much to the story.
They're just kind of there.
Everything's just kind of there in this series. The whole time.
Oh, let's actively move on because this is boring. So, the dude shows up, or the three dudes that show up, they try to kill the Doctor thinking he's the inventor of the stylus. And he says, no, I don't even know what a stylus is. He fiddles with their like portable Star Trek original series tricorder that is their time travel device. Meanwhile, in the 22nd century, there's some dude talking to Daleks. The reveal is that there are Daleks, even though the story is called Day of the Daleks, which Doctor Who does very frequently. And then the cliffhanger is that Daleks are there.
That's episode one.
Can I just point out, by the way, the recap of episode one on the TARDIS data file on the wiki is two paragraphs. Even the person who wrote this recap didn't want to spend too much time on it. Mind you, they're all kind of brief. This is a very brief recap until you get to episode 3 and 4. Okay, never mind, I'm a liar.
Well, I wanna expand on a couple of things we skipped over. Just a couple of things.
All right, if you must.
There's some delightful food stuff. Like you were saying, the Doctor is stealing the food and wine.
Yes.
Well, Benton wants some of it, which is why I love Benton.
Oh, God, yeah.
And Benton is like, can I have some of that? And she's like, aren't you on patrol? And he's like, I'm hungry. And she goes to give him some, but then Yates comes in.
Yates.
And he's like, you're supposed to be on patrol, soldier, and blah, blah, blah. And then, like, storms off. And then Yates eats the food. And I dislike Yates. Also, it seems like Yates is Benton's superior, and I don't understand that at all.
Joe is questioning that decision.
How did Yates get above Benton?
Well, the other thing is, Yates's excuse for, like, I can do what I like is RHIP, rank has its privileges, which is then referenced in this most recent season. That exact line is reused in the Ice Warrior episode, the title of which I can't remember the name of right now.
Empress of Mars?
Empress of Mars, yeah. One of the Victorian soldiers says that exact same line.
Oh, nice. I didn't like it here because, A, I'm not huge on Yates, and B, how does he outrank Benton?
It's not a ranking system of who you like the most.
He's been on the show longer. So shouldn't Benton be higher up since he's been on the show longer?
That's not how that works. It's not that everyone joins the show and they're like the lowest rank. Otherwise, the Doctor would be like a 4-star rear admiral of the entire universe. Which, I mean, I guess technically he is, yeah.
Maybe that is how it works.
Also, there's an adorable scene of the Doctor describing the wine. Like, the wine's personality.
Yeah, it's like, it's sardonic, but not too cynical. It's beautiful. I love it.
I'm 100% positive it's him just saying random bullshit.
He's just saying words he thinks sounds nice together.
Well, we know the 11th Doctor doesn't like wine. That doesn't mean the 3rd Doctor doesn't like wine. But my first thought is, like, the 3rd Doctor's sitting there drinking, and he's realizing, I don't know any wine words. I have to describe the flavor of this wine, or they'll think I'm dumb. It's an intelligence. It's a sardonic wine. It's not cynical in the least. Don't ask any follow-up questions. Have some cheese.
Which is pretty much how the 3rd Doctor operates.
He's always right, no matter what.
Here's some information. And don't ask any follow-up questions. Here's a distraction.
He's always right up until someone corrects him, and then he was never wrong.
That's the only thing I wanted to talk about was that food scene. So...
always good. Always a good choice.
There's a great food scene in episode 2. There's a fantastic food scene in episode 2.
We're now into episode 2, which I have called The Early Afternoon of the Daleks.
I personally refer to this episode as the tedium of the Daleks, because it's mostly people yelling at each other and the Daleks watching.
Do you know, the way the Daleks operate in this episode made me feel like I was working in retail again?
Really?
Like, the Daleks, there's the one character who gets yelled at by the Daleks, and then he goes and yells at somebody else, like, we really have to not screw up this mission, or else the Daleks will be mad at me. And then, like, that person goes and yells at somebody else, and that's what it's like being a checker at a grocery store.
It's everyone passes along their annoyance and frustration.
Yeah. You just kick down.
That happened in a Star Trek The Next Generation novel. I want to say it was Q-In-Law, where one of the characters is in a bad mood, and then they talk to someone else, and then that puts that character in a bad mood, and so on and so on in a chain. And I can't remember whether it leads anywhere, because it was a Peter David one. But I feel like that eventually dovetailed into the narrative. But it also may not have done, because I read this book 15,000 years ago.
So the last time you were on the podcast?
Last time I was on the podcast, I was reading this book and not really paying attention to what you guys were saying. You guys can see me on the camera now. I mean, you know it. That's not usually the kind of thing that I do, so... This is a joke just for you, because the people who listen to the podcast... I'm never going to...
Do an obvious page turn, then they'll know.
Hang on. Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's obviously not the... One second. Never... Obviously, I would never... See, now I'm laughing too hard.
Jokes for radio.
Sorry, I just accidentally clicked something on the article for Day of the Daleks, and apparently there is a TARDIS data core entry for deduction.
That's something the 3rd Doctor uses a lot. I feel like this is the first time this show has been so heavily influenced by Sherlock Holmes.
3 kind of deduces things like Batman does.
Like when they're solving like the Riddler's riddles. Yes. It's like, what's the most tenuous grasp on these words that were said? That has to be the answer!
They did that in The Pyramid at the End of the World. It's like, well, it could be war, but that seems too obvious. What else could it be? Bacteria. I like the sound of that. That's where the plot's going from now on.
There's also, I mean, it's just like, Sherlock Holmes is the Doctor. Mm-hmm. The Master is Moriarty.
Mm-hmm. That makes Joe Grant
Watson. And the Brig is Lestrade, right?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Good job.
We've solved it.
Who's the woman?
That's Tony's She knows more about Sherlock than I do, so you figure this one out.
I mean, no, it's just one story. She's not, like, not that big of a deal, actually.
Yeah, well, neither's Moriarty in the original Sherlock Holmes stories. He's just...
That's a good point. He has to be, because he's the person who, like, bested Sherlock Holmes. He's really not that important. And neither is the woman. And also, the woman, I'm not a big fan of interpretations where she's romantically involved with him. She's just somebody who bested him is all.
But if you are going the romantically entwined version of her, then it's also the master.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense, actually. Missy is Irene Adler.
Missy is Irene Adler. The master is Moriarty.
Moriarty. That follows.
That ties in with Elementary, too. So, spoilers if you haven't seen Elementary.
Also, kind of works with the season 10 finale that I won't spoil on the off chance that any of your followers have seen it or have not seen it yet. But there are elements of that.
There's a part of me that's like, let's just talk about that.
It was a much better episode than what we're talking about now. But maybe, yeah, let's talk about episode 2. Have we said anything about it? I want to say there is one thing I like about this, and that is that there's one...
It had end credits. It finished. It occupied a finite amount of time.
There's one piece of set design I really like, and that's there's this like really cool like roll-up door.
But it takes like 20 minutes to open.
But it looks cool.
So, Dude Guy Manface, whose real name I don't care to learn.
I call him Shiny.
Shiny's good. Shiny! Because his face is...
His face is very
Why
shiny.
Is his face so shiny? I thought at first, I was like, is that makeup? Is that like a choice?
It's a choice. Because he's in the future.
Everything's shiny in the future.
Jermaine Clement is very happy in the future, I'll tell you that for nothing. Yeah, like, most of the time, it's 50-50. Sometimes he communicates them via a weird dangling CSO display, which sways gently in the studio breeze.
And they always cut from, like, a shot to the... It's in the same... They
pull out, and it's weird.
And here's the thing, the pullout I like... I like the pullout, and I really hope that audio is not taken out of context later on. But I think the like synchronized camera movements, like sometimes one camera pulls out a little bit longer than the other, but generally I think they synced it up really well. The issue I have is that why is it sometimes he talks to them on video and the other times he has to go into their like fucking bodega or whatever it is they are and have a face-to-face conversation where they yell at him and then he just leaves, like...
Skype's down.
Microsoft have ruined Skype in the future.
It's in the future? What are you talking about? Now?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. They retired the classic Skype, and Windows 10 Skype is pretty wretched. That's why everyone's on Discord now. We should use Discord from now on. Anyway, where was I going with this? Yeah, so, like, why doesn't he just, like, call them up? It's like he's... I've forgotten their number. Does it end with a 6 or a 9? I can't remember. I'll go in and ask. It's like, he knows they're going to yell at him. Why would you want to be in the same room as a Dalek that's yelling at you?
There's one other thing that I actually, like, actively remember about this episode, and it's that there's the one female character in the future.
The soldier?
Yeah, she just talks like a robot.
Oh, no, not the soldier. The one, the assistant to the Shining guy.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Why is she making that choice?
But she's very flat. My favorite thing is, like, at the end of... Is it the end of the first episode or the second episode where she picks up, like, someone's time trace, and she's going to flub her line, but then keeps going anyway. So she says, time trace... So, and it's in the recap as well, so, like, her failure to deliver that line as written is now immortalized on screen twice. And I'm sure that did great things for her ego.
And she never acted again. Probably
did
not.
She act the first time?
I thought you were talking about the soldier woman. Okay, so, because that's what happens next, is the soldiers go back in time, they invade the mansion, and they're like, we gotta kill you.
Yes.
And they're talking to the doctor because they think that the doctor is Sir Reginald Stiles. But the doctor is like, I'm not that guy.
I'm not the guy. I didn't invent the stylus. What are you talking about?
And they're like, well, shit. And then they just shove him in the basement.
Go back in time to kill somebody and not even know what the guy looks like.
If only that in the future there was some kind of like international network of computers that are linked together, like in like a shared database. Or maybe by the 22nd century it has all just succumbed to pornography and pictures of cats. Incidentally, I looked up the woman who played the character. By the way, the character is name. She's only credited as female technician. And she's played by Deborah Brayshaw. The last thing she did, she was on Crossroads for a while. She did a bunch of those, like, gently porny... She did a couple of those. Like, she did Confessions of a Summer Camp Counselor and Carry On Emmanuel. She's credited in Confessions as Go-Kart Girl and in Carry On Emmanuel as French Buxom Blonde.
Oh, no!
That is a career that went from strength to strength that started in 1970 and ended in 1979.
Well, she gave it her best.
This is a good decade. I'm glad we know this about her now.
We've humanized her. It's hard for you to make fun of her delivery when she's a person.
It is.
With thoughts and feelings.
I'm an asshole. Shit.
I'm glad that we get to mention porn at least once an episode when Ben is on.
It's not like it's intentional. And I would keep in mind, I mentioned the internet as a repository for porn long before I discovered that one of the actresses who was in this serial went on to do two kind of gently soft porny movies.
I've never heard it called gentle before.
There's hardcore porn. You know that terminology. That means the corollary of that is there is soft porn.
Well, I've heard softcore. I've never heard gentle.
It's very loving. It's very affectionate. I always cry at the end.
I know.
I don't know how to get back. I don't know how to get back from here.
We don't. This is what we're talking about now. I would argue that gentle porn is like Notting Hill, Four Weddings at a Funeral, Love Actually. Like, that's gentle porn.
Just Richard Curtis films? That's it.
Richard Curtis makes gentle porn. Yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm on board. Pirate Radio, why not?
Vincent and the Doctor?
Vincent and the Doctor is gentle porn. I would say gentle porn is pornography where no one has sex and everyone keeps their clothes on.
Okay. People talk about their feelings a lot, is that...
And no one talks about his feelings in the history of Doctor Who more than Vincent van Gogh.
To get away from the porn discussion and talk about Doctor
Who... We did really kind of nicely
the Doctor and Joe
back to
are...
Doctor Who.
The Doctor and Joe are tied up in the basement.
I'm not going to say anything. I was going to. It's too easy. It's low-hanging fruit. Like testicles. Damn it! Is no one going to comment on the fact that I somehow managed to roll my Fs earlier?
I was impressed.
Not enough to comment on it. You jumped straight back into the point of the podcast.
Well, I don't want you to get a big head.
Too late. These headphones don't fit and I've got a constant headache.
Well, I'm sorry. That's my bad.
It is your bad. See that it doesn't happen again. Anyway, enough of your off-topic rambling... Joseph.
Yeah, Joe. Jeez.
Yeah, let's get back onto the matter at hand, which is the serial Day of the Daleks.
Okay, the Doctor and Joe are tied up, and I want to mention that once again, the Doctor has done a thing that he's been doing all season, which is he's a dick to Joe. Because he's like, maybe I'll just leave you tied up, because she's got a gag in her mouth, and he's like, maybe I'll just leave it.
Yeah, so I think it's a vast improvement. Ah ha 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 ha! I'm a misogynistic pig.
Exactly.
When has she ever been like the least bit annoying too? When has she ever been anything but like, do you need help? Do you want me to fix you a sandwich? Like maybe a cup of tea? Do you want me to just stand here in the corner with my nose to the wall? I'll do that then.
Everyone assumes that she's stupid and incapable. And in fairness, when she does try to do things, she is often stupid and or incapable. But that's because, like, a bunch of men wrote her that way. And then they wrote another man being misogynistic to her, which is, like, two Inception layers of misogyny.
The really mind-boggling thing for me, though, is that, like, when her character is first introduced, she's like, hello, nice to meet you, I'm a super spy. Like... I know escapology, and here's all the things that I've studied. And then, like, stuff happens, and she's like, I can't untie this rope. It's behind me. And, like, literally in this scene, the doctor's like, why don't you put some of your escapology to good work? And she's like, can't do it. It's really tight.
It's a future knot. It's a new type of knot that they figured out in the future, and I don't know what I'm doing. And then the doctor's like, well, maybe they didn't use the future knot on me. Do you want to untie me? And she's like, yeah, I can, even though it's backwards and my hands are facing the wrong way and I can't see, I'm able to untie your regular non-space knot.
This whole scene is very odd.
It's upsetting.
And this is also just a big problem with the serial. Every scene is just, let's just sit around and do exposition for a while. There's a lot of sitting and talking. And this is the first major scene of that, I feel like. Just having a chat about who they think these soldiers are, which they think... I mean, the doctor sort of figures out, I think they've came back in time to change history.
He does also say they're ghosts. He says they're ghosts, but there's two types of ghost. No, there aren't, Doctor. You're wrong. There's one type of ghost, the imaginary non-real kind.
There's two types of ghosts. There's ghosts, and then there's time travelers.
There's two types of ghosts. There's ghosts, and then there's diet ghosts. Fewer calories, but all of the flavor.
There's two types of ghosts. Ghosts and not ghosts.
Everything on the planet Earth is either a ghost or not a ghost, and most things fall into the latter category.
But he basically figures out everything with very little to go on, which is...
I mean, why else do people go back in the past?
Well, I mean, does he even know that they came from the future? Did they say, hey, we're from the future?
No, he found the, like, teeny tiny trans, the dematerialization circuit. Which, having also seen one in the most, in the season 10 finale, I have to say, the modern Doctor Who crew did a wonderful job of creating something that looks like a DMAT circuit, but that it still doesn't look like it was made on, like, a £5 budget. But these guys, it looks crap and cheap. Well, actually, it doesn't look that cheap or crap. I'm being too harsh on them. If you're listening, anyone who worked on Day of the Daleks, I apologize. If you send me an email, I will send you a written letter of apology.
That is not going to happen.
Yeah, it's a Ben fact. I don't have that kind of time. I'm editing videos while I'm talking to you guys. You realize this, right? I'm not actually editing video right now, but I am reading that book. By the way, just a quick update. Hercule Poirot's just stepped off the steaming train, and if you want my opinion, I think they all did it.
It's me watching Twin Peaks.
Yeah, Tony has just guessed everyone. She's like, it's the minor character walks on screen. She goes, they did it.
It's the log. The log did it.
The log killed Laura Palmer.
The log is on my suspect list.
The log lady is innocent, but the log, that is a shifty log.
Mm-hmm.
You notice how that log didn't appear on any TV show or film for years until Ed and Eddie. Obviously, it lost a lot of weight.
Oh, no.
Well, I feel like that's typecasting. That's sad.
But hey, it's work.
And then he went into a brief gentle porn period and did log jammers.
I was going to do a great joke. That's a good solid joke. But my joke, which is the superior joke, please don't walk all over my joke. Because are you ready for this? It's a great joke. I've forgotten what the joke was. It's in there. It's coming up.
Timing?
Shit. I'm so upset because I was so proud of myself for this joke, and it's gone now.
Oh no, you ruined it. You killed it. It's your fault.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, Logjammers, in fairness, is a great name for a porn starring all wood men. But don't all men have wood in porn? Really makes you think. Anyway, Day of the Daleks.
The soldiers are sort of like, well, we were supposed to kill this guy, he's not here, what do we do now?
Did they ever explain why the first guy who was, like, on the cusp of success disappeared? Like, did anyone ever... Was that ever explained?
They did explain it. The device was not working properly.
Oh, yeah, because that's why the Doctor was looking at the dematerialization circuit.
It wasn't, like, perfected.
Did we see where they went, though?
Yeah, he reappeared and then got attacked by an orc.
That's right. Yes, okay. I'm on the same page now.
Joe, by the way, brings up a good point. Why didn't they go back to the same point in time and try again? And the Doctor pulls out something that I'm pretty sure is bullshit.
The Blinovich limitation effect.
And they do not explain that.
They never explain what it is. It does, I will point out, it will come up again in a future Doctor Who serial.
Really?
Yes, but I will not give you any further context.
Will you give me the Doctor?
I'm fairly confident it's the fifth.
I will forget by then. And I'll be like, that sounds familiar. And then just move on with my life.
Didn't they just have both of them in the same space? Like at the very beginning?
They did.
That's fine.
Again, it will be addressed in, I think, about 10 years. That's a hell of a cliffhanger.
Wow, that's some forethought right there. Just setting the seeds.
You know, it probably just drove somebody else crazy.
Yeah, I think
so
that happens a lot.
So crazy that they were like, when they got to write for it, they're like, I gotta fix this.
I will point out, the serial that explains what the Blinovich limitation effect is introduces a whole mess of its own plot holes for the wider Doctor Who canon. And again, I'm just gonna keep my mouth shut, but you'll get there and you're like, oh, well, that explains everything. Wait a minute!
Now I'm excited. We gotta get through four. Three and four and get to this episode. Okay, so this episode, what happens?
They're trying to fix the broken time-traveling tricorder, and Jo just grabs it, and then it goes off. Yeah, she falls through the Buck Rogers and the 25th Century title sequence, and arrives in the 22nd century, where later, she'll get to eat grapes.
There you go, Tony.
A scene that I enjoyed. She had so much food, too, by the way. It was, like, all laid out in front of her, and I was like, yeah, that's nice.
Save some of your enthusiasm for later, because we're going to need it to get through the rest of this serial. Hold on to those grapes. The grapes of hope.
So, the Doctor gets free at some point. Orcs surround the house.
Oh, yeah, because
there's a shootout. The Doctor fights one of them.
And then he
kills an orc with one of the guns.
With a gun. He just shoots him.
Disappears him. And I feel like that's maybe... I mean, he's probably killed people before, but I don't think he's ever taken such a direct method.
He has, as recently as a handful of episodes ago, like, been offered a gun and was like, no, they're gross.
But he just straight up shoots one. I think in the special edition version, he actually shoots two.
Oh yeah, he shoots a whole extra Ogron.
Like, they just doubled down on that shit. And I feel like it's the most out of character thing.
I'm in kind of a tough bind when it comes to the Doctor using firearms, because generally I think, and I think most people will agree with me, he doesn't like guns, but he has used them in situations where there is no alternative.
But I don't feel like this is a case where there is no alternative.
Do also keep in mind, he may not like guns, but he has no problems with bludgeoning a caveman to death with a rock.
Well,
that was Baby Doctor, though.
A lot of two solutions to things were like, well, I just blew the whole place up.
I just shot a bunch of Cybermen into space. That's true.
But then, like, you hand him a gun and he's like, oh, gross.
So, I mean, I would have been okay with him killing the orc, but, like, through different means. Like some Rube Goldbergian sort of thing.
That is actually really in character. I buy that.
Like, oh, you've walked into my trap made out of bubble gum and duct tape. Like, he MacGyver.
Yeah, MacGyver that shit.
Yeah.
Also, Jinx, you owe me a Coke. That's empty.
You didn't say it had to be full.
I think that's implied, Jostopher. Come on now.
I'm just trying to weasel my way out of it. So then what happens?
Also, it's a Dr. Pepper. You can see that, but I can't.
Well, what part? Are you in the part of America that uses the word Coke to describe all sodas?
No.
Yes.
Oh, we are?
Yes.
I hate it. I'm against it.
That's where it happens.
I'm also against it. But I've been living in America now for 10 years and I've had to acclimatize myself to saying soda, and I do now obviously. But in England we just said, oh, they're fizzy drinks. Anyway, so the Doctor kills, we'll say 50 Ogrons with one gun.
The brig shows up, by the way, and the Doctor steals his car.
It's a Jeep.
I live in the area of America where everything is just a car.
That's fair. So then the Doctor drives the Jeep away, and he follows two of the guerrilla fighters as they run away.
To the tunnel under the bridge where the time bubble is.
Now, I thought it was the sewers, but the wiki describes it as a disused canal tunnel, which I'll take. I'm not invested in heavily. And the idea of him walking through a disused canal makes me happier, because if it were a sewer, he'd get his boots all squelchy. And also, then there's a Dalek there. Cliffhanger.
With a very wobbly head?
It's like the guy on the inside was like trying to hold it down at the same time, but every time he went over a bump, he would push it up.
I feel like this was supposed to be a frightening reveal, but I was too distracted by the wobbly head.
It was definitely undercut by the head wobble.
And then that's the end of episode 2. And now we're into episode 3, the late evening of the Daleks.
Almost start happening here.
And then we see that cliffhanger again, and again, the music. I hate it so much.
The reason that happened is because the director just didn't know that he wasn't supposed to do that.
Is this the same person who
did Colony in Space? Because there was a guy, the director in Colony in Space. In Colony in Space, the TARDIS does not dematerialize. It just goes pop, and it's out. They're like, why didn't it fade out? And he's like, because I didn't know it was supposed to.
No, this is his first story. He did Day of the Daleks, he did The Time Monster, and he did Frontier in Space.
So, do they all suck?
The Time Monster, I remember very little about. I don't know, the Master's in it. The end. But yeah. The end. That's all I have for you.
Speaking of, there is no Master in this serial.
Does that mean
wondering.
I don't have to put my laundry away?
I think you get a temporary reprieve until he returns. I don't know if you know about our laundry bet.
No.
We watched we watched the first serial with the Master, and we're like, then we watched the second one, and it's like, he's back already, that's weird. I was like, I bet he's gonna show up in the next one, and Tony's like, no, I think they'll give him a break. I don't think they're just gonna use him so much.
I don't think he's gonna be in literally every single episode this season, that would be foolish.
And so we made a bet, and the loser of the bet had to put away Tony's laundry. And Tony lost and still has not put away all of her laundry.
You keep doing the laundry!
It's an ongoing battle.
To say that I'm doing the laundry is a misnomer. You cannot do the laundry. Laundry will never be done. It is an ongoing ordeal.
We're also never going to be done talking about our laundry on this podcast.
Exactly.
Because it's come up every single time since then.
Guys, just do a separate podcast about your laundry.
There's enough of it to do a podcast about it.
Stop buying clothes then, or just go naked everywhere.
Okay.
I've been trying to get everyone to do
I
that
I feel for like
years.
It's slightly frowned upon in, like, normal society, also, I guess.
Are you in the part of America where naked means, is like just a general all-encompassing word for clothes?
Yes.
I'm from the part of the country where naked is a brand of smoothie. Anyway, episode 3.
The Late Evening of the Daleks. the Daleks come in and they rainbow burst away.
They what?
They time travel into the future. They go
and they fall through the rainbow. It's a rainbow burst.
It's a rainbow burst.
I'm okay. I totally understand what happened now, listening to your description of it.
Thank you.
At what point is it a rainbow burst? It's not particularly awash with color.
I think it's like brown and black, or like orange.
Well, that's there's a
two
burst.
Colors.
It's Buck Rogers.
Maybe I made it better in my mind. Is it the soldiers that do it, or is it the Daleks?
That do what?
That time travel him to the future.
The soldiers. I'm pretty sure it's the soldiers.
Because yeah. They're like, just to let you know, you've time traveled. And he's like, I do that shit daily. At least
I'm
I used to.
I'm not impressed by your shitty time travel.
I travel through time on the reg, son. That's a direct quote from the episode.
And then they get chased by orcs. They climb up this ladder. It's in the middle of weeds. Why is there a door in the middle of weeds? What is this access point? I don't understand anything. So the Daleks are wanting to, because the people in the future are mining stuff and working in factories, and they're wanting to increase the production.
Which I think they could do very easily, because when we see the workers pouring the material out of those big, big buckets, they're not carrying a lot of stuff. It's like a little bit of gravel at the bottom. It's like they were shoveling, put one shovel load in there, went, whoo, I'm beat, better tip this out. Maybe it's because they don't get like an OSHA-mandated like break time, so the walk from where they're doing the digging to the conveyor belt or whatever, the pit where they have to pour the nonsense, that's their break, so they take as many of those as they possibly can. And that's why production is down, because they're not fucking doing their jobs. They're not carrying as much ore, mineral, dirt as they should be. They're dirt miners. They should be mining the dirt efficiently. And this is why they're not meeting their quota. This is why they're not reaching their goals.
I think Ben would make a good Dalek.
The Daleks have a good point. Though I'm not saying slavery is okay, but I am saying the Daleks are calling. But if you were going to look at it from it like a purely functional
utilitarian,
the Daleks are upset because the production levels are not as high as they should be, and they're right because the slaves are severely underworking. Like, pull your fingers out, slaves! What do we not pay you for? Again, that's a lot of audio that's going to get used out of context.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
But I mean,
I think you've convinced me.
He has a point, yeah.
I'm not trying to sell you on slavery. I'm just saying the Daleks have a point.
But you have. You have.
No.
No, he's totally sold me.
I think what he's saying is you shouldn't use just, like, buckets for mining and, like, hands. I don't even think they get a shovel.
This is the future. Why don't they have, like, robots to do that shit? Or the orcs?
Yeah, why aren't the orcs are clearly more physically capable.
Why do they need two different sets of slaves?
Well, those are the slaves.
It's like how your secretary has their own secretary.
This cereal is about working in retail.
This is the humans are the bottom part of the kicking down.
Yeah.
Chain. This makes sense now, and I think I might like the cereal now that I understand it.
And also, you're on board with slavery.
It's maybe too easy to convince you of things.
You know, you may be right.
He's very, very impressionable. Joe, you're very impressionable.
I think I am.
No, you're not.
No, I think I'm, yeah, you're right.
Mm.
I tell you what you are, though.
What?
You're hungry. Hungry for chips.
Mm.
Oh, shit.
Where'd the chips go?
Well, you're both very impressionable.
I can't find them.
I moved them so we would not be eating them on the mic.
Ben, what are you doing? That's a great question. The answer is chips.
If he's eating chips, then I want to be eating chips. There's somebody who's getting asthmas from this.
Now what you need to do is just do some gentle, like, some lip smacking sounds.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the audio that's going to get taken out of context.
So, the doctor has seen these workers barely working and gets knocked out by an orc.
Working hard or hardly working, eh, boys?
That is an exact line from the doctor to the slaves.
I thought the Daleks said that. Working hard or hardly working? Thank God it's Friday!
Speaking of, when are we going to get season 2 of Dalek Gary?
Never. The end. Anyway, let's continue. I actually don't know. I would love to do more.
I would love to watch more.
There's so many logistical concerns in creating a second season. We have ideas for a second season. We just haven't written any of it yet.
Would there be a Cyberman Gary?
He'd be like Cyber Charles. Cyber Greg.
Where were we?
Joe eats grapes! She has a spread of food in front of her.
And they're sitting on the floor, like on pillows.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't afford chairs.
But then Shiny's like, yeah, we'll feed you real food later. Nutrition cubes. Or some. I think he says they're all like pills and stuff. And she's like, no thanks.
You know what I just realized?
What?
They're like in a Dalek place. That's probably why there's no chairs. Daleks don't need chairs.
They don't.
Though the captain, the Shiny guy, has a chair that looks like a toilet.
He swivels around in it and you're like, oh, it's a chair. I thought there was just a large toilet sitting in the middle of the deck.
But you see, every time he turns, you're supposed to get the impression that it's a like a mechanized chair. But you see his feet shuffle every time. And it's amazing. I love it. It's like when you watch, and you have a guys, I haven't gotten this far yet, but when you guys get to Genesis of the Daleks and you see Davros, and he's like moving along in his chair, but you can see his whole body wobble as he's shuffling along with his feet.
See, I like the shitty production values. I don't want to see CGI Daleks and don't fix the things.
Yeah,
leave
no.
them the way they are.
That's the
it's
part that's
charming.
Charming. That's the bit that we like. I find myself impressed a lot of like, that shouldn't work as well as it does. Like, you made that more effective than, you know, when you probably had no time and no money and like, Claws of
Access
looks so good.
It does. Claws of Access is brilliant design. It's not so much. So the doctor gets tortured a bit, sort of makes a connection with a guy, right?
Think about that. So something that we've said a lot is that
three kinds of cheese.
Yes. Three's always right. The third doctor's always right. And like, it's made him like a little bit less interesting. I think that's something like Chris has said a couple of times when he's been on. And that's true, but he's also been like captured a lot. And like a, like vulnerable positions a lot. I feel like he's tortured like once an episode.
It's because he does that face very well.
He does.
Of being like, oh, I've like, been tortured.
I'm fighting it because I'm so strong.
Or maybe he's just sleepy or gassy.
But he does get brought into the room with Joe and they all hang out on the pillows and talk forever and drink bong wine.
Bong wine. Oh yeah, bong wine.
Yeah, they drink out of what looks like bongs. But the doctor sort of, because the guy says, this is a utopia because we have slaves and everything. And the doctor's like, but you have slaves and things. How is this a utopia? And who's the real leader? And he's trying to get to him to talk about the Daleks because he saw one. But the Daleks find out about the doctor and like, not sure if he is the doctor. So they're going to do mind analysis on him.
Yeah, they're like, it could be that they're like, well, it could be the doctor. His appearance has changed before, but like, I don't know.
So they're like, go get him. But the doctor and Joe briefly escape, have a very pointless chase on a very tiny tricycle thing.
The little scooter?
Yeah, it's like a little motorized bike trike.
Oh my god, it was the dumbest thing. The tires weren't inflated all the way, and the chase sequence like takes place in a small section of a damp field. So every time he swerves to avoid something, or like avoid an Ogron, it's like the Ogron has to stop to not get him. And then they kind of get quote-unquote cornered by some reeds.
They're running after them, but the scooter is so slow that, yeah, they're like running and then they have to like slow down. And then they're like, there's a one point where they're just like, like trotting along behind it. And like, that's the whole shot. I'm like, this is intense.
It smacks of one of those things that like, John Pertwee saw at a, like a car trade show. And then he went up to the producers and now they're like, hey, we absolutely have to put this thing in an episode. I have to drive one, and I have to drive one for business purposes so I can write it up on my taxes.
Literally, it doesn't add anything to the episode because he immediately gets caught.
No, it's just dumb. It's like, you could play like the Benny Hill theme over the top of this, and it would make about as much sense.
I'm pretty sure they play music that is pretty similar to the Benny Hill theme. It's very like upbeat, you know, 70s techno music. Yeah, they get caught, and they do the mind analysis on the doctor, and that's when we see one and two. On the screen with the credit. With
you
the,
were so excited.
We see a one, a two, a one, two, three, four. No, four.
That's the end of the episode.
Do you know?
I was so excited because I was excited. I forgot that I missed one and two so much.
I always miss two. Two's my favorite. Three I don't like. I'll be honest with you. Pertwee's not my favorite doctor. He's too, for someone who's got such an anti-authoritarian streak, he's always, like, as has been pointed out, he always thinks he's right and he won't accept any question of his deductions or whatever. So he's constantly an asshole to Joe Grant. It's just not a fun era of the show. It's not a fun version of the Doctor. And I realise that by saying that, I have summoned the specter of Peter Capaldi, who I'm sure at this moment is boarding a flight at Heathrow to fly to Los Angeles to come to my place in an Uber and punch me in the face, because that's his favourite Doctor. But I don't like Pertwee. Pertwee is the least interesting classic series Doctor for me. He's not my favourite. And I feel comfortable saying that because, you know, John Pertwee's dead, but... And there's not only there aren't other things. He did bring certain things to the role that I really, really liked. But generally speaking, his era of Doctor Who is my least favourite, and it's the one I'm least invested in. Which is a shame, because Roger Delgado is my favourite Master. And I would have loved to have seen, if Delgado hadn't died in a car crash, I would have loved to have seen Delgado's Master go up against Tom Baker or Peter Davison. But alas, it was not meant to be.
Yeah, when we got to three, I was like, this is the, you know, the one I know the least about. It seems like there's not a lot of fan like excitement for this Doctor, and I was kind of excited because I was like, maybe, I don't know, he will secretly be my favorite.
And to be fair, that first season of his is really solid.
I don't like Spearhead from Space as much as some other people, and I acknowledge I'm saying this when I own like three copies of it on DVD, but Spearhead from Space is okay. A lot of the rest of Pertwee's first season is really good. And then he's just kind of blah until Sarah Jane comes along.
And I wonder if it's just, I feel it's just like the relationship between him and Joe is off-putting. Like, I like him.
And I like Joe. The biggest problem that Joe has is, A, the Doctor is an arsehole, and B, the writers don't treat her very well. She's kind of the Wesley Crusher of the Doctor Who companions. Because she was underserved by the writing, I feel.
I think so, too. The writers write her like a child sometimes, and that's weird and gross.
This is an era where they're like, maybe we'll do something new and different. And then they did it for a little bit and they were like, oh, but not this. Maybe we should have him on Earth. And like, I think they very quickly realized that's not why people watch Doctor Who.
Well, having him on Earth was about keeping the cost of the show down, because it was very nearly cancelled at the end of season 7. With the shift into colour production, it was a deliberate attempt to keep the production value down by not having to build alien sets all the time.
But anyway, that was the end of episode 3. We are now into the last episode, episode 4, which I've called The Remains of the Day of the Daleks.
Okay, I don't have a better name for that, because that's pretty brilliant.
Thank you.
I know, I've got a better one. The one that Ben didn't get to watch before we recorded the podcast, but has seen before, so we should be able to fudge his way through it.
A little wordy. Work on it.
Yeah, it won't fit on the spine of the DVD. I mean, it might fit on the American DVD release, because they use a narrower font, but you know what, I'm digressing. Let's talk about episode 4, which I've definitely seen.
So, the shiny guy wants to stop the Dal. I don't know. I don't remember.
What?
Oh, basically the Daleks, the mind probe or whatever, is basically going to kill the Doctor, or at least the shiny guy, who, by the way, is called the Controller, assumes it will, because he barges in and says that the Doctor is more valuable alive, in particular because he was... in contact with that guy from the previous episode who we completely glossed over, who was a traitor. The guy who kicked everyone else out of the interrogation of the Doctor and then was like, which faction are you with? Who do you work for? I'm on your side. Blah, 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 blah. And then as soon as the Controller came in, he was like, I'm evil again. Am I convincingly evil?
The shiny guy, he tries to convince the Doctor to do a thing by using Joe, right? They do that a lot. The Master especially, like, you do what I say or I'll hurt Joe. Then there's another scene where they go back to the pillow room and they sit and they talk for so long. He like gives the entire history of this planet. Talks about how the Daleks came, killed off 7/8 of the population, which is a very specific number. And they took over and then they mine stuff and it just goes on. And on, and on, and on. And I'm like, this is what I wanted at the top of the last episode. A very long exposition scene.
But then we also get some background on why we finally, at the end of the last episode, discover why the gorillas were going back in time to kill Stiles in the first place. Because they've been very quiet about why, like, they've not been forthcoming with that information, just they're traveling back in time to kill him. Why? We were bored. We were bored in our favourite reality. You know, they've just cancelled the Bachelorette, so we decided to just hop in our time-travelling tricorder and kill an old man who invented a pen.
I like your commitment to that alright joke.
So yeah, the soldiers come in to rescue them. And I want to mention there's like an orc soldier Dalek shootout that's not very well filmed, and also seems to take place in a parking garage. Tony's like, could they not afford like good? It looks like it's a parking garage.
I mean, it is, and they're in the future.
Just imagine what type of like futuristic space cars parked in that parking lot.
Imagine it, because you're not going to see it.
There's a shootout, and at one point they're behind a dumpster. Like, at least cover the dumpster in tinfoil or something. Come on.
Or just write the word space dumpster on the side.
So they run in and they rescue them. And when Joe stands up, which by the way, I want to mention, she has a really nice outfit. I really like that. Like, it's like a fashion version of the farmer's daughter.
She has a plaid shirt, and I think it's like a
overall dress.
Yeah, it's a overall jean. It's jeans.
But she stands up, and it's much like in Claws of Axos. You see more than you should.
You do see some stuff, yeah.
Which I wonder if they're doing it on purpose, like something for the dads, something for the dads at home.
Stop. Yeah, I feel like that was on purpose.
Bring out the girls. You know what I mean?
No, please.
But yeah, then they get into their plan. Continue telling what their plan is, Ben.
No. Let me put it back up. Sorry. You guys were talking about stuff, so I went over to Tumblr. So the rebels are rebels. The end. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. But basically, Stahl's is supposed to have blown up this peace conference that he's trying to get people to go to, which sets off a World War II, or I guess a World War III. And as a result of humanity being weakened by this global conflict, when the Daleks arrive, they're able to very easily take over the planet. So the idea is to, if they kill Stiles, he won't blow up the peace conference, there won't be a world war, and then humanity will be able to very easily prevent the Daleks from overthrowing humanity. This is despite the fact that Daleks have ray guns.
Do you think the Master, like, showed back up, like, ah, I've got a great plan to take over the Earth already, and the Daleks were already, like, in charge? I was like, oh, man.
I just go away.
You know how many times I've tried to do this very thing?
You fuckers accomplished it.
I'm going to go away and sulk for a year.
So the idea, I mean, it's basically, let's go back in time and kill Hitler kind of deal.
But by trying to do that, they create it, because when the Doctor realizes that the rebels took, when he discovers they took explosives back with them to 1970 or 1980, whatever, he kind of quickly deduces, oh, the rebels must have caused the explosion. It's a destiny paradox. He doesn't say that. I did just now because I'm clever. So the Doctor's like, oh, well, have none of you guys seen Terminator? Of course not. It hasn't come out yet. But it has come out because you guys are in the 22nd century. You've had 200 years to watch Terminator and get it in fresh in your heads. And you haven't done it. Do you not have a Blu-ray player?
In that version of reality, it probably didn't happen. The Terminator probably didn't come out because war and shit.
That's probably true. They had to make do with. There's got to be another movie about that, though.
Why? You had a problem with the paradox.
I do have a problem.
Why?
With the paradox. Reasons?
It's dumb?
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, do you have a reason beyond that it's dumb?
Because they do two different modes of time travel. They have the let's go back and change the future. Okay. But they also do the we go back and establish it. There's like two different versions of time travel. You can do where everything is set. You can't change things. Which is kind of what they do by setting up the bomb. And it was them all along. That's sort of like everything's set.
Predestined.
But they also want to do the we can change the future thing. So like, it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. I can see it in my head and I can't verbalize it completely.
That's the end of Day of the Daleks, everyone. It doesn't make sense. And then we stopped watching it and we talked about it for an hour and a half.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Nah.
Like, if you can go back and change the past, it should change the future every time. But that one time it didn't change the future, it set up the future. Like, they're going off of things that they went back in time and set up.
It's dumb. Anyway, so the Daleks tell Shiny Face to find the Doctor and destroy him. And they say, if you don't do it, if you don't do it, we will kill you! But not like that, but better or worse. For better or worse. I love you, Dalek. And the Shiny Face says, we'll do that. And he arranges an ambush in the tunnels. Meanwhile, the rebels give Joe and the Doctor one of those time tricorders and takes them back to the tunnel.
And they want the Doctor to kill Stiles.
And the Doctor doesn't seem pretty keen on that. But then the Shiny Face shows up with some Ogrons And the Doctor says, actually, you know, we're going to un-terminate everything. We're going to stop it so that the Daleks ever invaded. And the Controller says, no, I'm going to have the Ogrons leave. I don't believe you, but I'm still going to make them leave. They go, goodbye, Ogrons. I don't believe you. And he says, look, I'm going to let you guys escape because you saved my life earlier in a part that Joe, Tony and Ben didn't really recap. But one of the guards who was with him sees this and rats him out to the Daleks later, and the Daleks are like, nah, you're a traitor and we're going to kill you, and then they kill him.
They exterminate him, and it's the worst extermination at this point.
He falls to the ground so gently.
This is gentle porn.
It's a gentle.
It's a very gentle
It's a gentle extermination.
If porn is about two or more people living life to the fullest, then this is the anti-porn. It's about one man dying very, very carefully.
And I say it's the worst so far because there's another one coming up that's even worse. But they find out that the Doctor is going to, you know, save the day. So the Daleks were like, well, we're going to go back in time and assure that the conference explodes. And then we get a newscast establishing who all's going to be at the conference. And that's like, that's another thing I want to see in the final climactic episode of this exciting serial is a very long news conference broadcast. But the Doctor and Joe arrive and they rush in and they're like trying to get everyone out. And they're like, you guys need to leave. And they're like, no. And they're like, you just have to get out. And I'm like, just say there's a bomb, damn it. Why aren't you saying there's a bomb?
Because he's right. And if somebody doesn't accept his full authority, they're dumb. And he doesn't need to explain himself to anyone.
I shouldn't have to lie. People should just know I'm right and get out of my way.
But so the Daleks and the Orcs arrive and start shooting everybody and stuff. And there's another extermination with two unit guys where they get exterminated. And they just slowly raise their hands above their heads and then fall down very slowly.
Maybe they were told, no, do what you want. We're going to speed it up in post. So
this whole final battle.
Any action scene is awful. And all that we've said in, like, the last three or four serials is how great the action has gotten. And someone dropped the ball.
This is just dull.
It's just smoke and orcs and three Daleks.
And people slowly laying down.
Just sort of wandering around. It's the worst.
Does the Doctor have the bomb or does one of the rebels have the bomb?
No, one of the rebels has the bomb. The guy with the mustache.
Mustache Rebel. I love that song. It's one of my favorite Bon Jovi songs.
He's setting up the bomb to blow up who he thinks is the bad guy, which is Styles, but not realizing that he's setting up.
The bomb's going to blow up and conference. Start World War III. And then he's going to have to go back and stop himself. It's in the never-ending loop.
And that's how Terminator Genesis happens, and nobody was happy with that.
Exactly. So the Doctor finds the soldier and is talking to him and like, hey, don't blow this up. Then like they get everyone out of the house. Mm-hmm. The conference is evacuated. And the Daleks start pouring into the house. And then the Doctor's like, you know what? The Daleks are in here. Let's blow up the bomb anyway. The soldier basically is like, I'll do it. I'll kill the Daleks. I'll stay. Because the Doctor's like, you can't just put a timer on it. And he's like, yeah, there's not a timer. So I just have to press a button. And so Doctor and Joe get out and the Daleks come in and the place explodes.
Yay!
We have the weakest end to a serial ever.
Seriously, the house explodes, and then, like, gotta give peace a chance. The conference needs to be put on. We saw the future, so we know this needs to happen. Boom! End.
Roll end credit.
That's it.
It's horrible. It's just... that's the sound that sums up Day of the Daleks.
Like, no closure. It's just... It just happens.
I think it's interesting that the Daleks got their day in 1972. The Doctor would have to wait another 41 years before he got his day.
Yeah, that's not fair at all.
That's a lame joke.
We're going to take a quick break.
Yes.
And we'll be back for our final thoughts.
Final thoughts!
If this were some tavern tale, all half-truth and senseless adventure,
and it's full of demons.
And it's full of demons!
'Twas disastrous.
It's coming, people. It's coming.
Pitchforks, get your pitchforks here. Can't kill a demon without your pitchforks.
Torches and pitchforks. No defense. You better defend yourself.
No matter how you spend your life, your wit will defend you more often than a sword. Keep it sharp. Have I got some shit to tell you?
I gotta practice my killing.
Let the wicked hear my voice and tremble.
Fly, you fool. Fly.
You have to pick a side. You stay on your path, or you cross over to me.
I wanted to get inside so badly I could taste it.
Upon him I will visit famine and a fire, till all around him desolation rings, and all the demons in the outer dark look on amazed and recognize that vengeance is the business of a man. Caster Quest, now on the ESO Network.
ESO, ESO.
And now we're back.
Welcome back.
It's time for final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
Ben, what's your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are I'm glad that we're nearly done recording this podcast because I am really warm and I want to turn my ceiling fan back on and this was a horrible episode and I'm sorry that I had to watch it.
Wait, because I have a question for you. We, like, let our guests all pick.
Yep.
Did you just really want to talk about how bad this was?
No, I remembered it being a lot better than it was, and then I watched it, and I went, oh, yeah. I got hyped up, because remember, I watched the serial way back when, and then I watched the supplementals on the DVD, where they talk about how, oh, we basically ripped off the same short story that Terminator's based on, and I thought, they did do that. That's really smart. And then I've been blindly meandering through my life over the last couple of years, just assuming that Day of the Daleks was a really smart serial because I'd been influenced by this documentary that I watched after I'd seen the serial and knew it was boring. And I think the version of Day of the Daleks that exists in my memory is always going to be better than the version that exists on DVD.
I will say there's a lot of good ideas in it.
Oh, it's chock-a-block full of good ideas. Yeah, it's just a garbage story. Poorly directed. The pacing is horrible. I watched episode 3 recently. Well, I watched it yesterday in preparation for this. And I can't tell you what happened in it without looking at the wiki because I was on my phone for half of it because I just was not engaged by the story. Do you find that happening where you're like watching a story for the podcast but you are so utterly unengaged that you find yourself playing like Candy Crush or Futurama Worlds of Tomorrow or whatever?
I do. I get in trouble because we do. It's one of our Patreon things is like we put up videos of us watching it, and so if one's boring, Joel will be like, Tony, look like you're paying attention.
They're watching to see your reactions, and I guess your reaction is, I'm on the phone.
My reaction is, I'm bored by this.
It's an honest reaction. Lean into the honesty. I'm on your side.
I've started to put my phone away while we do it, though. Yeah. I'm trying to be better.
It was hard, this one. God, it was hard.
If I had a choice between watching this serial again and smearing my testicles in fish pate and dangling them over a pit of hungry piranha, I would watch this again because it would hurt less, but I would not be happy about it.
Fair enough.
Nice wrap-up.
How about you guys?
I think it's interesting that you said that you remembered it being really good, because at some point, Joe was looking up stuff about the episode, and he said it's a fan favorite, it was really well-received, and I was like, what are you talking about?
Part of the explanation for that is that a lot of people would re-listen to this episode, but not watch it because they had recordings of it. And so they weren't seeing how poorly executed the visuals were in this serial.
Or they were reading the novelization.
Or they were really,
which yeah. I assume makes a lot of things make more sense.
The novelization reincorporates that in bit too. Because they were supposed to go back to the lab and then see themselves.
Oh, yeah, because for the longest time, the only way for them to, like, revisit this serial would have been through the novelizations or their own recorded audio. And I know that the novelizations take some creative liberties or they change things or they, like, beef stuff up. So maybe the reason it's a fan favorite is because the Target novelization doesn't suck.
Yeah. It's one of the first ones I'd be interested in reading to see, because there are a lot of good ideas in here. And there's a lot of stuff that's just ruined by execution. And if the novelization is, like, great and you're like, oh, that's what was supposed to happen, and things got cut for time and things didn't work, and...
I mean, not to mention the script also had the problem of, oh, put the Daleks in it, you know?
If there's a good story there, I'd like to read it. I'd like to see a version of this, but better.
I would like to share one fact, though, and that is that in Super Mario Galaxy, Bowser Jr. has two visible fangs on the top of his mouth, but in Super Mario Galaxy 2, he only has one fang, and Bowser Jr. has had one visible fang in all of his appearances since. Now, the reason I bring this up is because this is infinitely more interesting than discussing Day of the Daleks, and I wanted you guys to end the podcast on something that people might find slightly charming, such as the physical description of one of the bad guys in the Mario Brothers series.
That's a good wrap-up for me.
Yeah.
So, Ben, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, Port Center is back, ladies and gentlemen. My show about interesting and unique ports conversions of video games. is on the new YouTube channel Chainsaw Suit Games. You can watch new episodes at portcenter.tv. That's PORTSCENTER.TV. Or you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Ben Padden, PADDON. I'm also on Instagram. I'm on Tumblr. You can find out whatever I'm doing, any podcasts I may be working on in the future, any new video projects is all there. And hopefully you guys will have me on again very, 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 very soon.
In a couple hundred years.
Yeah.
You just put me back in cryo freeze until you need me again.
Back in the vault!
I was in the vault the whole time.
If you like this episode, you can check out more on WatchYourAssLon.com, and be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. If you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to WatchYourAssLon.com/support, and there you'll find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to Patreon.com/Watchathon. There you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like day early episodes, videos of us watching the episodes with Tony on our phone, and uncut video of the podcast records, where you can hear Ben reading the wiki pages. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list, where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com.
You know what, Matt, I take back some of the things I said about you.
But not all of them.
Just a handful. He knows what he did.
And that's it. Tune in next time when we talk about The Curse of Peladon. I hope I pronounced that right.
Paladin.
The Curse of Aladdin.
The curse of Padden. The Curse of Ben Padden.
The Curse of Ben Padden. With returning guest Ashley Rayburn, our Ice Warriors expert. See you guys then. Keep calm and wrestle on.
Yep. I don't know. I blanked. I panicked. I'm sorry.
Don't blank. Blank and you're dead.
You usually tell everyone you love them.
I do. I haven't stopped loving you. I still love you.
I love you more than Joe and Tony could ever love you.
What?
I don't think that's possible.
I think we're going to fight.
All right. Let's take this outside of the podcast.
Bye.
Yes, that's a most good-humoured wine. A touch sardonic, perhaps, but not cynical. Yes, most civilised wine, one after my own heart.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.